Support for Living on Earth comes from listeners like you. To make a donation, please use the link to the left of this webpage. And thanks.
They say the early bird catches the worm, but one Florida family gives the bird a run for its money. Peter White got down and dirty to bring us this story.
It's just after sunrise in the Apalachicola National Forest in northern Florida. A hazy mist hangs in the air, and there's dew on the ground. 100-foot pine trees stand like soldiers on parade. Just another day at the office for Gary and Audrey Revel and their 33-year-old son, Snap.
All right, let's see. Come on, Mom.
Gary and Snap each carry a stob, a hardwood stake about 2 feet long sharpened to a point. Their other tool is a flat steel bar called a rooping iron. An inch thick, it weighs 10 pounds and is tapered at one end to fit your hand. They pound their stakes into the ground with the flat of the iron and make them vibrate by rubbing the iron back and forth across the top of the stob. What they're doing is hunting for worms.
Once you make the right music, they'll go to dancing for you. Hopefully I'm doing it.
The Revel clan has been harvesting worms this way for generations. Some call it worm grunting. They call it rooping.
That's just a term we came up with. And some people call it scrub bait, scrubbing the stuff, you know, grunt worms, bump worms. Maybe some would say charming or fiddling or whatever, you know.
By whatever name, it works. I can feel the vibrations under my feet. Out of the ground come earthworms by the dozens. I can't believe my eyes.
Here's another one. Here's another one.
Audrey crouches low and moves quickly, snatching up worms as they leave their burrows. Her gallon bucket is soon full.
500 worms. That's a full can.
On a good day, one grunter can keep two collectors busy. Some grunters use smaller stakes and lighter irons, says Gary.
And they make a high pitch. You know, where ours has got a rumble to it. You know, they both work.
Gary and Snap read the ground like a map. Small holes and worm castings, the presence of birds, are good signs. The white sand mounds made by crayfish tell them the ground is low and moist here. The weather and even the phase of the moon affect how well they will do. Snap pounds his stob about a foot into the ground and begins to draw his iron across the top, playing it like a giant fiddle. Then he pounds again. The tone changes as the point of the stob reaches down to the dense sand or pan below the topsoil.
Normally, when you start noticing the bait surface is when it actually gets into that hard pan, and then the vibration travels a little better.
The shorter the stob gets, the higher the pitch. It sounds like a raspy saxophone solo. But the longer the stob, the lower the pitch.
Apparently these are more Beethoven type.
Gary lets me have a go at it. It's definitely harder than it seems. He gets 10 worms to every one I coax out of the ground. But why does it work? That's what biologist Ken Catania of Vanderbilt University was determined to find out.
When you think about all the predators and things that like to eat earthworms, you would imagine that they should go down when there's a vibration or something digging or some sort of disturbance on the ground. But instead, they're going the wrong way. They're streaming out of the ground. So that's sort of an irresistible mystery. Why would they do that?
He got a tip from a slim volume about earthworms written by Charles Darwin in 1881.
In that book, he pointed out that it has often been said that if the ground is beaten or otherwise made to tremble, worms believe that they are pursued by a mole and leave their burrows. And I thought that was just a great clue to what might be going on.
So Catania went down to the Apalachicola forest to meet the Revels and study their technique. The first thing he discovered was that lots of eastern moles live in the forest. Next, he measured the vibrations made by the Revels and the vibrations made by digging moles. They overlapped. Then he put the worms and moles together to see what happened.
It was amazing to see. So as soon as that mole dug down into the dirt, up came the earthworms, sort of streaming out of the ground in front of it, basically looking like they were running. If you could describe a worm as running, and they were moving about as fast as a worm could go.
Why up and not down? Because moles won't chase worms above ground for fear of becoming prey themselves. Earthworms come out of the ground to escape their worst enemy, only to be caught by the Revels. Biologists call this hunting strategy exploitive mimicry. It is used by a rare predator, in this case a worm grunter, who takes advantage of a prey's escape response to its main predator. Wood turtles and seagulls do the same thing the revels do. They tap the ground pretending to be a mole, and the worms come up. Back in the forest, the revels have collected 6 cans of worms in about 3 hours.
A lot of grunting going on out here, sure.
The sun has climbed overhead. It's time to go back to the shop and count them out into little blue containers, which they sell to bait shops.
Set them in the shade.
That's all right. Set them out here.
The revels live pretty much off the grid, but wouldn't put it that way. Rather, outside of town where it's quiet and the living is easy.
It's totally different. And once you're accustomed to this type of a living, it's hard to cope with any other.
People drop by to chew the fat, and if the revels aren't home, they count their own worms and leave the money in a box in the bait shop. Next month, the revels will give demonstrations at the annual Worm Grunting Festival in the small town of Sopchoppy, Florida. They'll be there with the stakes and irons and thousands of worms they've brought from the forest just for the occasion. For Living on Earth, this is Peter White.
Not like a wild boar or a jungle lion's roar. It isn't like the cry of any bird. But there's a new sound. It's deep down in the ground. And everyone who listens to it squirms. Because it's new, new sound. So deep down in the ground is the sound that's made by worms.
On the next Living on Earth, California counts the carbs, putting vehicle fuels on a low-carbon diet.
To achieve our 2050 goals for greenhouse gas emissions, 80% below 1990 levels, really requires that we completely transform and decarbonize our transportation energy system.
California climate change and the fuels of the future. Next time on Living on Earth.